Welcome to Exploring Bible Prophecy with our teacher, Steve Butler. As we continue through our series today on why we should explore Bible prophecy, we encourage you to download your free study guide by visiting whcbradio.org. There, click on Exploring Bible Prophecy, download the study guide, and follow along with us. Now, open your Bibles as we explore Bible prophecy.
Hello, and welcome once again to Exploring Bible Prophecy. In today's program, we are going to begin by taking a look at the scriptures, exploring the scriptures that are associated with point number 11 on our worksheet entitled Why Explore Bible Prophecy. If you're joining us today for the first time, a special welcome to you. And for those who may not have taken advantage of the offer from this radio station to download the worksheets that we're referencing here, I would highly recommend that you do that, because as you download that worksheet, you see that we have a lot of scriptures that we use from Old Testament, New Testament, the entire 66 books of the Bible, to make each of our points about why it is so important to understand and to explore and therefore understand God's word to us through his prophecies, because the unfolding of his prophecies gives a validity, an authenticity, a reality, a sense of God is truth when you see how detailed the revelation, the unfolding of his prophecies are. So again, if you'd go to whcbradio.org, and look for Exploring Bible Prophecy in the program lineup, and you'll see Exploring Bible Prophecy. Click on that, and it will open up a page to introduce the program, and it will show you a hot link that says Why Explore Bible Prophecy. When you click on that, it'll bring up our worksheet. So I would highly recommend that you do that, because it'll make it a lot easier to follow along with the many scriptures that we will use to make each of these points. So to point number 11 on our worksheet, and there are 13 points that we've been going through. Point number 11 says, by studying the prophetic scriptures, you can be safeguarded against the perils of the end of the age. And as we talked about in point number 10, the world is gripped with fear. Point number 10, point number 9, the world is gripped with fear because so many things are changing so rapidly in the world, and things that we used to take for granted don't seem to make any sense anymore. There seem to be no real anchors out there that we can rely on from the past to be true in the future. So many questions. Yet the questions that those people have, you as a person who understands Bible prophecy can answer those questions for them. You can go a great way to allay their fear of the unknown, because you know what the future holds, because the Bible has told you that. Remember, you go back to Amos 3, where God says he reveals his secret counsel to the prophets, and he does nothing without first telling telling his children, because remember, it was the prophets in the Old Testament, then he spoke through Jesus and the apostles in the New Testament. So we have the completed word of God, in which he has given us every bit of information he wants us to have about the future, because he does not want us to be fearful. He wants us to be bold. He wants us to go forth and tell the world what is happening, because he is God, he does not change, and he has a plan. And man will not thwart that plan. God says over and over, I will see my plans through to conclusion. I will be watching over my word. So we look at point 11 here, and it talks about you can be safeguarded against the perils of the end of the age. Now, when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are safeguarded in the sense that you have been saved from the wrath that is to come. And that's what we'll be talking about here as we go through this, that you are safeguarded from the wrath that is to come, which is the tribulation. But in the meantime, because you are a professing Christian, you will experience perils. You will experience difficulties. You will experience lowercase t tribulations, to differentiate those from the real tribulation, the wrath of God during the 7 years that the church is not going to be here. But we, because we do profess Christ in a world that is ruled by Satan, And I hope that doesn't catch you by surprise that the world is ruled by Satan. Yes, God is in control. God is allowing this to happen. God is using Satan as part of his plan to tempt and to test people. But at the same time, we have been given all the knowledge that we need if we will simply access it. And that's the purpose of this teaching ministry, is to explore what the Bible says about, if you will, the end time events, as well as all the prophecies in the Old Testament that have already come to fruition, just as they were prophesied. And as we pointed out several programs ago, that we should have confidence that all of the prophecies that were prophesied in the Old Testament that have already come true in exactly the detail, the specificity that was given, that should give us confidence that all the prophecies that are yet to be fulfilled will be fulfilled in exactly the same degree of detail. So as we go forward here, I want to make a point up front as we get into a number of scriptures in point number 11 here, that yes, you can be a babe in Christ, you can remain on the milk of the Word, and God will save you. God will take you to heaven. But that's not what God wants for you. That's not what God wants for me. He wants us to know as much as we possibly can. He wants us to know everything that He's laid out before us in His precious Word. So if you would, let's start out here. And if you look on your worksheet there, the first verse in John, in point 11 is John chapter 16. John chapter 16. And this is, as we've talked about before, is what's called the Upper Room Discourse. You have the Olivet Discourse, where he's talking to the apostles about the tribulation period and the second coming of Christ. Now he's transitioned, literally during his Passion Week, early in the Passion Week, he had the Olivet Discourse. Now he's towards the end. In fact, the night after he finishes the Upper Room Discourse is when he's going to be betrayed by Judas. So it's at the end, just before he's crucified, he's telling these same apostles. Remember, they are representatives of Israel, but they are also representatives of the new church, because they have faith in Jesus Christ, and they will see him crucified on the cross, and they will believe in him, and therefore they are part of the church. So he's talking to them as members of the church now. And in John chapter 16, he's talking about the Holy Spirit. Because remember, when Jesus was on the earth, he was the primary representative of the triune Godhead. He was here in physical form. He walked the earth. He ministered. He showed the miracles. He healed people. But now he says, I have to go back to my Father as part of the prophetic word, so that the third part of the triune Godhead can come to you and can go throughout the entire world. Because remember, as long as Jesus was on the earth, everything was focused on him in Israel. But when he left and allowed the Holy Spirit to come into each member of the church, then it spread like wildfire around the world. And that, of course, has been God's plan from the beginning. And he gives us some wonderful truth in John chapter 16, and let's look at verse 13, 14, and 15. And it says in John chapter 16, verse 13, but when he, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, comes, he will guide you. And he's talking to the apostles here in the upper room. Remember, Judas is gone, so he's talking, in effect, to the church. He will guide you into, what's that say? All the truth. Remember, God said in Isaiah 46:10, I tell you the end of all things from the beginning. I tell you, I give you all the truth. And now we're being told that the Holy Spirit of God wants to guide me into all the truth of his word. Continuing verse 13, for he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak. He will disclose to you what is to come. Remember Isaiah 46:10 just a moment ago, and then Amos 3:7, where he says that he does not keep his secret counsel from his prophets. In other words, he's laid out all of his counsel in the Bible. He wants us to know it. And he wants us to know what is to come so that we're not fearful. Not only are we not fearful, because we are going to be safeguarded, as it says in point number 11, safeguarded against the perils of the end of the age, but we as knowledgeable, discerning Christians, because we know the word, can share with those that are gripped with fear to tell them, yes, here's what is to come if you don't accept Christ, and here's the beautiful truth that if you do accept Christ, here's what lies before you. So he says that he wants to guide you into all truth, looking at verse 13, and he wants to disclose to you what is to come. Verse 14, he will glorify me, this is Jesus speaking, for he, the Holy Spirit, will take of mine, take of Jesus, and will disclose it to you. And then look at verse 15, all things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he takes of mine and will disclose it to you. So I want you to see really four things in verse 15 that are magnificent. First of all, you see all things. You look at verse 13, he wants to guide you into all the truth. He wants to disclose to you what is to come. And all of this comes from the Father. So I want you to think of the triune Godhead here. God the Father has all of this truth. And it says that my Father, Jesus speaking, has now given all of that truth to me, to Jesus. Therefore, I, Jesus, said that he, the Holy Spirit, takes all of the truth that I have from my Father. He takes it, and what does he do with it? He wants to give it to you, and he wants to give it to me. So think about that. This is the God who created the universe and everything that is in it. He wants you, through his Son, through his Holy Spirit, he wants you to have that same understanding so that you will be confident, that you will be strong, that you will be, as he says to Joshua, be courageous. Be courageous, particularly now when things seem to be so crazy in the world with the virus and so forth that has been gripping the entire planet and is instilling fear across the globe, that we don't need to have this fear because we know the future with a confidence that only comes from knowing God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So we see this wonderful truth there in John chapter 16, verses 13 to 15. And then I want you to stay in John chapter 15, as it shows us in our guide, and go down to verse 33. John chapter 16, verse 33, and again, remember, we're in the upper room discourse. Jesus is talking to the 11 apostles because Judas has gone out to tell the rulers of Israel where Jesus is. He's going to betray him. So this is Jesus talking to the purity of the church, if you will. And in John chapter 16, verse 33, it says, these things, it's kind of a wrap-up, these things I have spoken to you. In other words, you can put your name right there. These things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace in the world. Because in the world you have tribulation. But take courage, I have overcome the world. So he's basically encapsulating what I've been talking about for the last couple of minutes here, is that because we have the truths of God's word, that we've studied the prophetic scriptures that tell us all about God's plans for the future, Jesus is promising us here in John 16:13 that you may have peace when the world is gripped with fear. Because he says, in the world, you're going to have tribulation. And you specifically, Christian, are going to have tribulation simply because you profess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And the way I look at it, as a believer myself, is that when I experience tribulation, when I experience persecution of any type, because I have professed Jesus Christ or I've ordered my life in a way that is pleasing to God, and the world persecutes me for that, I see that as a confirmation that I'm his. That as strange as that sounds, the difficulties in our life, if you stop and think about it, if you are a true Christian and you are walking a path that is pleasing to God, then that is proof that you are the Lord's, because he told you in advance, we're going to have tribulation in the world. We're going to be persecuted in one way or the other because of our walk. So what a wonderful truth we have to start off our look here at point number 11, that we can be safeguarded against these perils by knowing the Word of God. Knowing the Word of God, we will have peace through that. All right, let's move on to our next scripture in point number 11, and that's in Romans, the book of Romans. So if you're in John, the last of the four Gospels, then simply move to the right in your Bible past the book of Acts, and then you'll get to Romans, Paul's book to the Romans. And in Romans chapter 5, let's look at the first five verses. The first five verses. Therefore, having been justified by faith, that happens the moment you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So there's that word peace again that we saw back in John chapter 16, verse 33. We have peace through that justification by faith. Verse 2, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exult in hope of the glory of God. So in order to have this hope, we have to have an understanding of what is the basis for this hope. What is the future that's been laid out before those who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? That is the hope we talk about. So our believing in Jesus Christ is our introduction, if you will, to having this hope. And the more solid your hope, and really the Greek word here for hope is confident expectation. It's more than just a simple hope. It's a confident expectation of what's going to happen. And we can have that confident expectation because we study his word. Verse 3, and not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. Verse 5, and hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So again, that harkens back to John 16 again. The Holy Spirit was given to us. John 14 tells us the Holy Spirit is with us forever. John 16 says that he wants to lead us into an understanding of all the scriptures, and he wants to give us hope by telling us what the future is. So we see that confirmation that John is giving to the Romans here in Romans chapter 5, 1 through 5, that this hope that we have will not disappoint us, because it's the Holy Spirit who has given us this truth if we will simply allow him to do it. The key thing to remember here with the Holy Spirit is that he is in you, and he wants to work in you and through you for the glory of God, not for your glory, but for the glory of God. But the only way that's going to happen is for you to allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life, to lead you into an understanding of the scriptures, an understanding of all those things. And by your having that understanding, that allows the Holy Spirit to glorify God through you. So we'll continue this discussion in point number 11 in our next program. But as we always do, we want to take the opportunity now to answer a question from a listener in the audience. And we have a question now from Gary in Kingsport. And Gary asks, if I'm saved, will I go through the seven-year tribulation? If I'm saved now, will I go through the seven-year tribulation? And that's a great question, Gary. The short answer, Gary, to your question is an emphatic no. If you're saved today, you will not go through the seven-year tribulation. You will not experience that tribulation if you're a born-again believer. And a born-again believer, just to be clear, is someone that professes that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and that Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, came to this earth, died on the cross to be the perfect sin sacrifice for us, as was required by God, and was resurrected on the third day after his crucifixion, and he now sits at the right hand of the Father in heaven. If you believe that in your heart, then you will not experience the seven-year tribulation. What you do know now, and you are confident in, because if you study the Bible, your confidence grows every time you study the Bible. You know that Jesus is about to come back, and he's going to take you and me and all believers in the church to heaven with him. And he will do that before the tribulation begins on the earth, because the tribulation has nothing to do with the church. The tribulation is all about punishing those who do not believe in Jesus, and to punish with the intended result of bringing a remnant of Israel to a saving knowledge of their Messiah, Jesus Christ. In fact, that is the primary. Well, let me back up. In everything, the first thing is to glorify God. Let me just make that point clear. Everything that's done is to glorify God. But God's intention, his primary intention in the tribulation, is to bring Israel to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And the Bible's very clear about that. And then along with that will be the judgment of the Gentiles. And we, of course, we talk about that in other programs, no time for it here, but that's the point of the tribulation. So there's nothing about the church going through the tribulation. So we will go to heaven with him while God deals with the earth during those specific 7 years so clearly laid out in Bible prophecy. And then at the end of the 7 years, we will return. We, the church, will return with him. Remember, we go up with him at the rapture as his bride. We will be wedded to Jesus in heaven, and we will come back, according to Revelation 19, as his wife to the earth at his second coming. And it says in Revelation chapter 2 that we will rule and reign with him in his millennial kingdom. Millennial is two different words, milliana, meaning 1,000 years, and it's mentioned 6 times in Revelation, that there will be a 1,000-year kingdom, and it's clear that the church will rule and reign with him in our glorified bodies after the tribulation is over. So what I want to do in answering a little bit more detail here for you, Gary, and for those that are interested, is that there is a fair amount of talk today in the church and on the different radio and TV evangelistic programs about we're in the tribulation now, and that when the tribulation is over, then Jesus is going to come back. In other words, there's probably a lot of these people think there's not going to be a rapture, that we're in the tribulation, and we all, the church, unbelieving Israel, unbelieving Gentile, we're all going through the tribulation because, hey, times are difficult. Well, the Bible, I think, is quite clear that, yes, we are in tribulation, but as I pointed out in the teaching part of the program today, and as I have any number of times, this is what I call the lowercase t tribulation, that we as Christians are promised that we will go through, because it's actually a confirmation that we are his. In fact, another way to put that, Gary, is that if you are not experiencing any difficulty, your life is just rosy, and you don't talk about Jesus, you don't share him, you don't, nobody, if anybody asked you if you're a Christian, they'd do it because they have no clue. That's a clue that something may be wrong, because you should be experiencing persecutions of some form or fashion, whether it's family, work, social, whatever the case may be. There should be some sort of persecution, some sort of tribulation, lowercase t, in your life. Because if you're professing Jesus, the Bible very clearly tells us the world hates you. The world hates you if you believe in Jesus. And if you believe in him, you profess him in the way you order your life. You may not be a street evangelist, and we're not all called to be street evangelists, that's for sure. But we are gifted in different ways to share the good news of Jesus Christ, and we should be doing that based on whatever your gifting is. from the Holy Spirit. And through that exercising of your gifts, you will be persecuted. You will be experiencing lowercase t tribulations. And I want to get into that, but I want to start out with the good news first, because that's what Gary had asked for. Will he go through the seven-year tribulation? And no, he won't. So let's look at some scriptures here, and I've got several that I want to share with you over the next couple of programs as we finish out this, because this will take several programs to answer, because it's such a good, as they say, meaty issue to understand properly. So let's look at some scriptures in the Bible that tell us, matter-of-factly, that we as believers in Jesus Christ will not be going through the tribulation. So let's start out with one of the better known ones, and that's in the book of Revelation. So let's go to the very end of the Bible, to the last book, that wonderful book of Revelation that unfortunately scares so many people, but it's the only book in the Bible that has a blessing, that if he says, if you study it and heed it, you'll receive a blessing. And it's purely Satan that does not want us to be in the book of Revelation and to understand it, because it tells us very clearly that Satan loses. So let's look at Revelation chapter 3, Revelation chapter 3, and let's go to verse 10, Revelation 3, verse 10. And this is one of the promises to the churches that are talked about in Revelation 2 and Revelation 3 before John the Revelator gets into the tribulation period. And starting with verse 1 of chapter 4, you don't see the church again until after the tribulation. But you do see the churches very clearly in the first two chapters. And in Revelation 3:10, it says, because you have kept the word of my perseverance, I will also keep you from the hour of testing, that hour which is about to come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. An hour of testing. So that is talking about the tribulation period, and he says, I'm going to keep you from that hour, from that period of time that's going to come upon those who dwell on the whole earth. Okay, we'll pick up this in our Q&A in our next program, because this is exciting news. So remember, if we don't talk again, I'll be seeing you in the air.
Thank you for joining us on today's Exploring Bible Prophecy. If you have a question or comment for our host, Steve Butler, please email him, steve@whcbradio.org. Our special offer this month is Volume 1 of Invisible War on the Saints with Dr. Greg Patton. After several years of traveling evangelism, Greg Patton's life was dramatically changed by a demonic attack. Decades of extensive study and work with hundreds of demonically oppressed people have led to this special DVD series in which Dr. Patton exposes the enemy's weak points and teaches the believer to put on the armor of God and wield the weapons of spiritual warfare to achieve victory in Jesus Christ. You can own your very own copy of Invisible War on the Saints, Volume 1, with an offering of $20 or more to the ministry of WHCB. 423-878-6279. That's 878-6279, or visit refugestore.com. Exploring Bible Prophecy is a production of WHCB. Learn more at whcbradio.org.